Hi, John. Hi, Paula.
Morning.
To you.
Hello, good morning.
We're going to switch over to Ukraine in a moment, but I wanted to talk about the next gen perspective, as you are, Paula. You can talk about Ukraine otherwise in a moment, but John, can you maybe you want to introduce how you met Paula and then let Paula say a few words. And I know that you yourself have perspective, so we're sort of tight on time, but if you just give a quicker version of what you were going to say longer, John, I think it's important to get your words, your perspective out here.
Yeah, I think it's more important to get to Paula. I met Paula almost a year ago in Los Angeles with her family and her friends in Los Angeles, and gathered around the common goal of how do we help refugees. And she has her own story around that, why she's doing that, but it's really impressive. She's become a dear friend. And I guess that I'll say she's been working on the refugee problem before it became a problem for Ukraine. And she's built an amazing network, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. And just for my background real quickly, I'm building a company that provides education, healthcare, and finance to the working poor so they can live a better life, and that includes refugees. And grateful to be a part of your network, Mark. And please, Paula, let us know how we can help you. And I'm really proud to know you. That's it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction. And thank you, Mark, for having me. I'm calling in from Barbados today because I'm here to work with the Prime Minister and a group of entrepreneurs on solutions for social challenges in the region. And so, personally, I come from a family that created its wealth in the Second World War and shortly after. So there was a very big segregation between men and women, and what they were supposed to be doing in relation to running the company. And for me as a woman, I just felt like it was a very important thing to empower myself out of these old family structures. I'm the only woman of the next generation in my family. I have two brothers. And so if there's anyone who's listening in here, who's maybe also female or has a daughter, is thinking about intergenerational systemic conflicts when it comes to gender perspectives as well, I'm very, very happy to have a word with you guys. My name is Paula Schwartz again, and I think you'll find me online. So and because I basically dropped out for a while out of my family, I created something that runs like a decentralized autonomous organization, and it functions a little bit like a nation, because it's called the Cloud Nation. The website is mycloudnation.com. And so the idea is that we support different sectors, mobility, education, healthcare, and we look into projects that are amazing, that are based on data. They're really generating change for people. I really love this concept also of the University for Peace. I was super inspired by that. And so we help implement systemic change through these interlinked solutions that we back. And we've been trying to do that for Ukraine as well. And that's essentially what I do. I'm trying to organize knowledge that is applicable in the context of a certain region. And I personally live at the border between Greece and Turkey, because I'm also half Greek and half German. And I felt a little bit like a refugee in my family, which is why I was so focused on mass migration in the beginning of my work, when we started to implement these systemic solutions and to back them. And so now I live in an innovation park, basically, that I've built. It's 14 houses where we welcome people to create solutions together. And we just finished a camp there to welcome people who are also listening right now. Thank you very much for being in the audience. And so essentially what we did is to bring refugees together from Ukraine with investors and collaborators in order to explore what happened with Greece and Syria and what should not happen with Ukraine and the bordering regions. So we looked at innovation in the refugee camp. Unfortunately, on Samos, where I live, the refugee camp was bombed by the residents, because the living conditions there were so catastrophic. And so the residents of the refugee camp, they just said no. There's a lot of negative learnings to be made, and there's a lot of synergies, but I don't want to just keep talking. Maybe you guys want to ask me some questions about that, and maybe some things were not clear enough. So yeah, I'm open for questions. If you want, Mark,
you,
do you want to give me like a bridge there?
Yes, we like interaction. And by the way, we get together at 7:30 in the morning, except for today, because I had a conference. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays sometimes, and Sundays, to collaborate on Ukraine.
So maybe maybe I can, yeah.
Paula, I have something for you. Talk about your experience. A lot of these, what I've noticed is a lot of these innovations for refugee camps, and also innovations in the poor and the distressed cities in America. I think there's a lot of commonality between them around needs for access to information, education, healthcare, all these resources. And how can we have a bi-directional innovation between these areas? What do you think?
Well, I think that what Mark is doing and what I'm doing is the first step to bring people together to talk beyond borders about situations that are happening. And then I'm creating a database of different projects that are useful, like 3D printed houses. Like now we're making a list of companies that could 3D print houses very quickly, or prefabricate them, because that's like in Greece right now, we need a lot of housing to potentially also host Ukrainian refugees. And so we don't want to use the tents again that were so terrible for the Syrian refugees. So I think it takes a very strong database. It takes knowledge transfer through these well-organized networks, and it takes friends who are willing to actually talk about these kinds of things. And that's where it should feel a little bit like a family, because these things, they do matter, and they might not be the most economically interesting projects, because they just don't create this crazy revenue, but at least they create healthy people. And I think also in the United States, this familiar feeling of working with people who you know care is something that I personally find very important at the moment, because there's the opioid crisis in the US, there's the homelessness crisis, there's so many things that are heartbreaking, and it's important to show a little bit of human love and kindness, and to actually not look away, you know, don't just step into your big ass apartment at the end of the day and just look at your numbers, but also look at the people who are on the streets and who are not doing well. And it cannot be that the wealth gaps are growing, and we're really not looking at the shitty situations also in the US that is happening. And so, yeah, I think in order to have knowledge transfer, it's important not to create silos, and to stay open for conversations, and to have compassion with people, because, you know, a lot of people are going through a really shit time, and things are getting worse on the planet. And I think people have been getting better and better at looking away. And that's just not the answer. So I really want to support Mark and also you with like building up these networks, including more and more people, and scaling your impact, because I think that it's important, and I think that we can change the world together.
Thank you, Paula. Appreciate those. You're going to stick around here, because we're going to talk about your... My mic's off? Thank you, Paula. Stick around, because we want to talk about one of these subjects, which is Ukraine. Marius is here.
Yeah.
Who was just with you in Samos. He came off the plane and went bowling with us. That was...
I heard, fun. Yeah.
Last night was ping pong, but no, he's been really good. He's been like sort of our, like keeping that thread. He sees our round table. So our networks mesh very well. We're all about interconnecting and open architecture. So with that, I know, Marius, you asked for another minute. Are you ready to?
No, I'm ready. I just wanted to make a Zoom call.
Okay, perfect. Well, if you're on the Ukraine panel, please come up, get started there, and then some of you are on Zoom. And Paula can stick around. Elena, Maybe as we do that from Elaine and Katerina, you could, we're just going to go by way of intros, like, you know, 30, 45 seconds per person, who you are, what, and what you're doing as it relates to Ukraine.
Hi, everyone. Let me share the screen. I would like to share our presentation. I hope you can see it, right?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. My name is Elena Sabri. I represent Phoenix Group Foundation from Ukraine. We are from Ukraine. And here I would like to introduce also Business Development Director Katerina. She's also present here on Zoom, but unfortunately she could not present today. Yes, she's in Europe now. So for us, it's a great pleasure to be here with you, and I would like to welcome everyone and Mark for the network, for everything what you're doing, including of course Ukraine. You know, I could never imagine that I will be sitting in front of you here. I'm based in San Jose, California, and that we will meet in these circumstances, because I have 20 years in corporate communications and I'm a career coach now, so I changed my, it's my second career for the fourth year. But what happened on February 24th, it's unbelievable. And you said that what scares you, you asked many people yesterday. And you know how close the war can touch your life. Like my family is in Ukraine, my mom, my sister, my family, my friends. And I don't know when it will end, you know, honestly. And this is what scares me, because the war, it has huge effect, and it can start anywhere because these rockets can fly anywhere. So this is what scares me for the future, when it will end. So we would like to present the foundation that was started by Ukrainian entrepreneurs, business owners, top executives. The foundation was established for children 2 years ago. But when the war started, they organized and decided to help. Everything happened so fast. So many people in Ukraine, they lost their homes. So these entrepreneurs, they organized, and up to date, they spent 3 million euros for humanitarian help for arming territorial defense, because territorial defense is doctors, the teachers, engineers, IT managers, mainly men who became, who are fighting, who are defending their homes, their districts, and so on. So in 2 months, foundation managed to open 3 offices in Poland, in Romania, and Moldova. They have 50 employees around Ukraine and in Europe, and they built amazing network of over 1,000 volunteers in Lviv, Kharkiv, Chernigiv, Kyiv, Dnipro, Slavutich, and this list is extending because Russian missiles bombing more and more cities and towns every day, unfortunately, nonstop. And Phoenix Group managed to establish the logistics to deliver the aid, help to civilians, to military from Europe to Ukraine. So what they do? They design food boxes that can last for 4 or 5 days, because you saw on television.
Elena, sorry to interrupt. We have a group of other people on the panel. What you've set the stage really well. Could just maybe a wrap up comment, and then we'll have Q&A. We'll keep interacting with you.
Okay.
That's okay.
So they established humanitarian help for people who needs help. They have Telegram channel and website. Anyone in Ukraine can ask for their help. And of course, they're raising funds, and they armed territorial defense and Ukrainian army. You can see it, equipment, body armor. Also, they're buying a lot of SUVs and modern ambulances. and they are looking for established rehabilitation systems in the future, because now they're starting thinking what to do after it, how to help people in Ukraine after the war. And this is a list what we are looking now for the Ukrainian army, for the civilians, and of course medication. So we're looking for the funds, we're looking for international partners, because we can do together more. So this is a contact for Katerina, and of course my contacts you have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I make a comment, Mark?
Go ahead, Paula.
Okay, so it's super, super nice to meet you. Thank you so much, Elena, for your presentation. I was working with Irina, who's also here, part of this group, and Mariusz and a lot of other great people, to think about how people could potentially be relocated to Greece, because parts of Greece look very much like regions of Odessa. And so we came up with this idea to create pre-built houses quickly, and to rent them or sell them to Ukrainians who are looking to relocate. And so this is obviously something that we don't want to have happen on a massive scale, simply because we also want people to go back to Ukraine. But we do see the need to relocate people for some years to regions like Greece. And so we also partnered with an entity now called grforukraine.org. So it's like Greeks for Ukraine. And they have created thousands of jobs for Ukrainians. So not only is there the possibility now to purchase a house, but there's also the possibility to refinance yourself based on jobs that are provided in the region. And these can both be low income jobs and like medium income jobs. So I would love to be in touch with you so that we can form a bond there, you know, between your volunteers and our real estate project. That would be amazing, because then we can create a safe pathway.
And I think you're all on the same I think you're both on the same WhatsApp group too. Lots of WhatsApp in Ukraine. Could I turn it over to you, Marius? You want to take over and set the stage?
I have one last question, just one question. Like, how many people do you think are going to be relocating from Ukraine to other countries? Because we're already looking at 4 million
refugees.
Paula,
can you hit that? Let's put that in the WhatsApp group, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll do that, yeah.
So, hi. I'm here to make connections and talk and so on, but I would love to show you stuff. You know, because I've been really interested since the war started to really facilitate actions, you know, bring help and, not just, thinking of, and I'm really respecting all the beautiful ideas in this room and so on. But my interest is always to match what is needed with the current needs. And I got a lot of friends in Ukraine now, some of them living with me in my house. And I made a lot of beautiful friends along the way the last 2 months. And I always try to deliver impact. And I would love to show you just a few things I've been involved in. Yeah, you can share my screen. Okay, this was just like the introductory. And I tried to, because I'm hearing all these beautiful ideas, and we had this awesome gathering with Paula and in Greece, and was also very fruitful because we got there beautiful connections to new friends who helped us also in our journey to Ukraine, because I'm coming from Ukraine from last week, and I made myself a picture of the situation, and there's still parts of our team on the spot, and ask them just to, maybe just introduce you quickly. You just see this guy left here. His name is Marcello. I'm going to show you a project we're deploying with the help of this network here with 361. And just briefly, you see how the situation could look like, and I have plenty other pictures I don't want to show you right now. And we read there, and acting as sensors and connectors. We want to really know what is there, what is needed, so that we can really efficiently help. And I hope here, when I come out here, that I get touch some people's hearts and help also with the ongoing operations. Yeah. So I made a few learnings along the way. I think the main learning is that it's beautiful that we have all those big help coming with big organizations and so on, but people I'm talking to, I was at first arrival centers in the Polish border, and I talked to people also in Ukraine and so on, and I see what is emerging right now is a way to organize which is not covered by the NGOs and big organizations. You know, like in Ukraine, it's crazy how self-organization is right now working. I see a lot of leaders coming up and taking actions. You know, the people are all organizing Telegram channels. Each city has their own channel. It's kind of facilitated. They're building chains of trust. People taking life risks to go and deploy stuff to bring help to the people. And it's all self-organized. And I think those people need support in any end in a self-organized way, because when I was talking also to big organizations some one day, people start to come with the typical administrative stuff, you know, okay, so what is the NGO behind it and so on. And our circle was also, oh, can I deduct my tax and so on. And frankly, I lost patience from moment to moment. I had like an emotional roller coaster because I had people talking to me sometimes on the front line or on a besieged city, and then it just stuffed over there, right? Anyway, this is my short, emotional, heart-driven intro, very unstructured, but let's move to a little bit structure. So generally what I see, you know, I put these dimensions, and I didn't have time to prepare myself despite of this morning, because all the time connecting, talking, and so on, I see it like there's four dimensions. So we have things which are needed right now, and they are inside of Ukraine and outside of Ukraine. And we have then things which are needed later on, after the war, or when the war is progressing. And this is also the same inside of Ukraine. So there's kind of in our discussions also in Greece, we discovered there's a kind of a need that people are staying in a country or coming back, and they need also support there. And I've heard here beautiful ideas of SME support and whatever you want to provide. Awesome, yeah? And okay, so let me just walk you through, you know, as an example, yeah. Actually, I met one of the Borders Without Borders crew, beautiful Justina. She was going there in the first day of war to the border, just dropped her job, went there, and she met beautiful people, and they tried to fill the gaps in between what is needed and so on. And they saw, like, finally arriving after weeks, the big organizations, and try to help and so on. But it still spotted gaps. And what I did as an action, they created an NGO. It's actually right now in a registration in Poland still. They're called Borders Without Borders. And what I did, and you can see me here still being in Greece on the way back from the Acropolis, I had a call with the founding team, and they've been introducing to me the operations, what they do, and we recorded this. I'm gonna share with you the link. You can invite it to take a few minutes to go through it yourself, to this video. They've been introducing to me what they're doing and adding kind of whatever they already established and put documentation here, right? The help they provided, putting numbers of what they need right now. Like what they're doing is they have a warehouse at the Polish border and a warehouse at Dnipro. Dnipro is a key city in the middle of Ukraine. It is at the Dnipro River, and there are 16 bridges. And through that, they're providing supply to the other warehouse and have voluntaries distributing it to the war zones. It's mainly food and medical supply. They established a path, self-organized, young people, 20-something years old, right? Have direct connections to suppliers. They managed to create a cost per meal about 50 cents and deploying trucks every day. And what they need, and I share with you the link, they just need right now additional money to run the operations and continue, because it's now very crucial in this phase right now to provide as many food supply as possible beyond the Dnieper River, because those 16 bridges gonna be destroyed sooner or later, as one example. Yeah. Then the other one, why we've been to Ukraine and help and received help from this group to deploy the MVP, it's Wi-Fi meshes, and I have just Wi-Fi meshes, and maybe I'm gonna just present to you shortly the audio of the call we recorded in one of our dailies, where Marcello himself, who is the CEO of this NGO called Broadlights, he was bringing connectivity to areas which need connectivity. He is an NGO and NATO badge, doing support on the connectivity thing in war zones and so on. Yes, so this guy is kind of a. It's just an awesome dupe. You need to meet him, and I'm just gonna play the audio. I don't know if this.
Now, you have the issue that they can be identified and targeted. If you have Starlinks a little bit further away from where people are using them by using an access point, the power transmission of the access point.
Okay, maybe the audio was not the best. I didn't rehearse this. So, long story short, they're right now installing a so-called Wi-Fi mesh connectivity solution in the areas. You see here is a school got bombed around Kiev, yeah? And we bring connectivity there. It's true that Tesla was providing a lot of Starlinks, but they've been installing them to already established networks to de-risk the connections, yes? But from talking with my friends who've been sitting in shelters and running away, the main reason for some of them was not that they didn't have food or water, was because they've been cut off the world and they didn't know what is happening, you know? And we want to solve this, filling this gap and provide connectivity where it got lost. Because if people are not connected there, sooner or later, and the history shows it already what happened in some towns and villages, the Russians come there and take over, do Russian propaganda TV, send people to filtration camps, right? And filter out the ones who are pro-Russian or try to brainwash them under high pressure to work for the Russians, or they get filtered out. And this is things which are happening right now, yeah? So, and we want to provide connectivity here in this project, but also you can also help and with the food and medical supply.
Nice.
Yes.
I could stay here all day.
Yeah.
If we packed it in.
Yeah.
And you got a couple of people next week.
Okay. But I think I made my point. So look, I'm here to, because you have a beautiful garden here, yes. And I'm here just to plant some seeds. And I will try to help you also with the architecture of this group to establish the connection. So whenever you want to help, and I know it's a trust thing because, oh, we sent money to Eastern Europe, you know, who's going to benefit from that? I would love to facilitate a direct connection to the people who received the help. They could document it, you know, maybe in this way and recording videos and showing you photos and so on. So whatever is needed to you to build trust, I'm happy to facilitate that. I don't gonna micromanage all the projects because you're gonna manage it within each other. I just want to provide the structure.
Co-create.
Thank you for your work. It's been amazing. I appreciate it.
Yeah, John was the first of our group to donate to that. And
thanks, John.
And we've edited it. We're seeing how it's implemented. We didn't know if we'd have that. It's now full MVP, as you say. So now let's scale it.
Yes, and we again got connections to the main responsible people for the Starlink program and so on, in contact with, you know, whoever we need as stakeholders. And this is also thanks to Paula in the circle, because she was bringing the persons in, and those persons introduced us, and we're really well connected, so we can deploy and scale this project.
So you want to tee up your other
panels? Yeah, actually, but can I make one comment, because we also started to talk about other issues that are being discussed in the network, for example, the plastic waste issue around the globe. Like, I have a 7-month-old baby, and Irina, who was refugee from Ukraine, she was actually telling me about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and I got like half a heart attack when I heard about that. And so now I'm actually in Barbados, also with the Prime Minister of Barbados, because they are looking for a solution for the sea level rising. And so what I'm trying to say is that out of the meeting that we had on Samos, we also started to discuss other things like waste management. And so we came up with a solution for the it basically works like a silicone boob, where you uplift.
Paula, you're so passionate. I have to put a place marker. We'll go back to that.
Yeah.
So we have two other speakers. Paula, I just want to make sure.
They also need Wi-Fi here. That's what, because you mentioned the scaling of the. They need Wi-Fi, and they're very interested in what you're implementing in Ukraine as well, because it's becoming a crisis region, and they're looking for support when it comes to their connectivity. That's what I
was. Great. I wish we had more time. We'll have breakouts, the Ukraine breakout and the other breakouts later today. Kip?
I'll stand if you don't mind. Well, also, after listening to Mariusz, to Paul, to Irina, I feel like I should give up my time because what they're doing is absolutely amazing. My name is Kirill Viktorovich Kiperman. For those of you that are not fond of rolling your R's, I also go by Kyle. And until a week ago, I did not know what 361 is, but when my friend Brittany introduced this opportunity and shared what this group does and how kind and caring, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to speak in front of you. So my journey begins here in the States about 20 years ago when my family and I immigrated from the gorgeous city of Odessa, Ukraine, in the south, which thankfully hasn't been touched as much as some of the other places you've heard of, like Mariupol. And I remember like it was yesterday, coming to the northwest suburbs of Chicago, not the most diverse place in the world, looking a little bit different, dressing a little bit different, speaking with a heavy accent, and the kids would come up to me and ask me where I'm from, and I would say Ukraine, 90% of the time blank stares, still don't understand why geography is not a mandatory course. And I also had a few that said, oh, that's part of the Soviet Union, right? That's 2001, like not for the past 10 years, it's not. And frankly, I wish that we can go back to that time where people maybe don't even know what Ukraine is, or they think of that Seinfeld episode in the MetroCard with a board game. This is an opera house in Odessa, considered to be the second most beautiful opera house in Europe. As before the war, this is how it looks now, barricaded. Last time it looked like that was during the 1940s. So I'm going to skip the parts that really have no relevance in terms of my upbringing, my career, all of that. I'll share with you that about 7 years ago, my best friend and I were sitting in my my 1.5-car garage sipping tea, and we decided to build a coffee table. And 7 years later, that coffee table turned into a full-service, people-centric organization that designs and manufactures high-end cabinetry called Crafted Wild Cabinets. And for those of you who understand the manufacturing segment, it's very saturated, it's very old, it's very complex. It has high implementation costs and overheads and risks and liabilities. So starting it is difficult. Funding it is difficult. Scaling it is very complex. And we can sell with the best of them, but we can't scale manufacturing as quickly as we can sell. So I figured, hey, why don't we scale by engaging my friends in Ukraine? We found an unbelievable company in my hometown of Odessa, 27-year-old organization. And after 2 years of planning and translating everything from imperial to metric system and European standards to American, we finally got our first 40-foot container from across the pond, some of the best cabinetry you've seen in the world. Fast forward to February 24th, 2022. I'm sitting in front of the screen and moving my vision along, my dream, and I'm seeing something very disturbing come on the screen. After doing some cross-checking, I decided at the risk of waking up my friends in Ukraine with the 8-hour difference in time to call and find out what's going on. And unfortunately, they were already awake because they were woken up by shelling. So everything that my business went through and the impacts to me, you know, from increase in costs to logistical nightmares to trying to get a container from a war zone through a different country, none of that is as impactful. It pales in comparison to what people are going through there every single day, right? As an example, the person that I do business with is 65 years old, which means he's no longer of fighting age. He built a 27-year-old company. It is the work of his lifetime. And when his family pleaded him to leave the country because he has the opportunity, he said, a captain does not leave his ship. Captain does not leave his crew. So he is still there providing purpose, providing a paycheck for those who can still produce. So this situation has given me a renewed sense of appreciation for the freedom, the opportunities, the securities that I'm afforded here, and has given me the urge to help even more. And hearing what these amazing people are doing just motivates me and inspires me. And again, I don't believe that I deserve to be here right now. So similar to what Mariusz has said, really big organizations are bulky.
I apologize.
Yep. Absolutely. One last thing I'll say, there are a couple of slides with some local organizations that are not bulky, that are not difficult to work with, like what Mariusz said. And you can donate money to those organizations directly in Ukraine, in Odessa, and it'll go to people that are doing some amazing work with veterans, with elderly, and with pets. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
you. Good morning, Gary. You got mine? Okay. The topic that I'm focusing on is the rebuilding of Ukraine. We've all seen the incredible images of the enormous devastation, which has resulted in, you know, large loss of not only life, but many businesses, jobs, et cetera. So millions of people are jobless, there's no income, and you know, just put yourself in those circumstances and imagine, how are you going to survive? You know, the key that we're addressing here is the issue of money. Money at the grassroots level. How do the people carry on? How do they buy the food that Mariusz was talking about and you know, be able to survive? If you imagine what's likely to come, it's probably going to be a Marshall Plan type, you know, renewal, which essentially is a top-down concept which takes forever for it to trickle down to the people at the bottom. And the government is going to be largely focused on large infrastructure, rebuilding projects, et cetera. But how do you rebuild, you know, those local communities, the barbershops, the, you know, small restaurants, the, you know, other small businesses that serve the community, et cetera. And so the need is immediate. So if it's not going to come that way and, you know, it's not likely that there's going to be direct infusion of money to all the people at the in the communities, what can they do? And essentially,
is your mic closer?
Yes, I tend to be very loud, which is why I was holding it away. Thank you.
And I apologize, I really have, we're over time.
Yeah, I'll try and make it quick. Okay, so the key here is that our organization discovered some time back that throughout history there have been major rebuild efforts that have been funded by the people issuing their own money. And so that is the key that we're looking at here, is that the Ukrainian people basically can issue their own currency, not have to wait for it to come from on high on down, and that money fundamentally is a social consensus. If people say, this is money, we agree it's money, it's money. And so we found, you know, a bunch of examples throughout history of that. We then developed a whole program that we call the Sustainable Communities Framework that essentially takes that concept of issuing local currency and using it to have a broad brush across the board, tide that lifts all boats type of framework. And so this is the ideal system that could help to reboot communities all across Ukraine very rapidly. I've been talking with Mariusz about this, and as a reinforcement to his idea of all the self-organizing that the Ukrainian people do. This is a perfect match for them to be able to take and run with it. And so it can be implemented very quickly. We've got a full turnkey system. The key is to being able to go implement it.
We'll have a Ukraine breakout lunch, be longer, but
I'll wrap it real quick. Okay. To pursue this, we formed a new entity in Washington, two blocks from the White House, called the Ukrainian American Development Center, and it's going to coordinate this effort. So, and the website for it is uadc.net.
Thank you. All these presentations are in our master deck. We now have like 300 slides in there, so you get everything there. All right. I wish we could talk Ukraine all day, and we'll have.
You want me to take any questions?
Unfortunately, we don't have.
Okay.
I think the breakout was where we do the questions.
Great. Thank you.
Come join our 361 firm community of investors and thought leaders. We have a lot of events created by the community as we collaborate on investments and philanthropic interests. Join us.